Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest will be Kristen Pahacek of Self Esteem Brands. This episode is brought to you by Social Joey, FranSuite, and Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The January issue is out now, and you can read it for free at FranchiseDictionaryMagazine.com. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new issue. January, by the way, includes a big focus on sports and fitness franchises, in my opinion, the hottest area in franchising. And I think today's guest may agree with that. What do you say, Kristen?
I think you're right.
Welcome back.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. 2020, here we come.
Yeah, here we come. And we were just talking off the air about, is it 2020 or is it 2020? I think we're going to go with 2020.
I agree. It's 2020, baby. Here we go.
It is now. fitness franchises, obviously still on fire, probably getting even hotter in the new year. And you guys are doing something amazing at Self Esteem Brands and Anytime Fitness. Tell us where your latest franchise opening is.
Yes, we are the first franchise to be open on all seven continents. So
seven.
Last month, Chuck and Dave, our founders, took a voyage to Antarctica to welcome Anytime Fitness to the continent, which is pretty cool. It's a big deal. So we are so excited to truly be anytime, anywhere. And, you know, with over 4,500, close to 5,000 locations, and it's a big value proposition for our members to be able to access an Anytime Fitness literally anywhere on all seven continents.
Literally anywhere. I can't think of anybody else that's ever done anything even close to that. And this is an actual location too, like within one of the bases there or something, I would assume, right?
Yeah, it's actually on a ship that docks there, so
wow,
that researchers can hop on and travelers to Antarctica can hop on, get a workout in. Super important to stay healthy even when you are on a voyage of a lifetime.
Especially when that's really
especially
amazing. And yes. I just like that it's an actual real location. It isn't like a lot of our friends in franchising have, you know, lots of locations on paper, but they never actually open. So kudos to you guys and to Chuck and Dave for getting that going. That's an amazing story.
Super cool. We are very excited. I hope one day to be able to go out there and work out.
There you go. From northern Wisconsin to Antarctica, a different,
well,
probably about 10 degrees right now. So
exactly. Well, I'm looking outside. It looks like Antarctica. We're getting quite a bit of snow here.
Yeah, here in Chicago as well. So we're in the new year, and I thought for the first show it would be great to talk about how we will all be spending some marketing dollars in the new year. Before we get into the platforms and the places that we'll be spending these dollars, let's talk a little bit about events. What's sort of the big thing on your calendar that you see happening in 2020 that everybody needs to be aware of when they're doing their media planning?
It's the political election.
Yay.
And it has media buyers everywhere kind of freaking out. I know that when we planned our 2020 media, this was the number one consideration for us. I think that we're going to see a very large impact on traditional, but also digital ad inventory. And like for us, the fall is a really big time for people to kind of jump back into their fitness regimen and kind of get in shape before they see all of their family for the holidays, Thanksgiving,
sure,
and Christmas. So that was a big consideration for us. But also, I think our minds immediately go election, fall, ooh, it's going to be busy. But in reality, February is when it all starts. That's when the first caucus is. And so when you're media planning, you can't just say, ooh, we should be careful about spending our money in the fall, because the reality is the inventory is going to be in high demand all year long as we start to get to the conventions and the caucuses and all of the major campaigning that's going to be happening this year.
Yeah, the Iowa caucuses are exactly 28 days from today. So I can imagine what our friends in Iowa, I can imagine what their Facebook pages and news feeds look like today.
Right, right. And unlike Twitter, Facebook doesn't really, I mean, they have some restrictions, but you're definitely, your Facebook feed is going to be full of campaigning.
Yeah. And so we've got Iowa coming up very soon and New Hampshire. And then I think for the rest of the year, it's everybody. Super Tuesday is going to be even bigger this year with more states. So have you planned all of that into your media buying in different parts of the country?
Yeah. So I think here's the hard part. Nobody truly knows what the spend is going to be like. And it's going to be largely dependent on those that are in the race and their budgets. And there's some projections out there that campaign spending will increase by $1 billion, increase by $1 billion from 2018 to 2020.
Wow.
That's a big amount of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So and if Michael Bloomberg stays in, that could go to $2 billion very easily.
Right? So that's naturally, it's going to translate into higher CPMs and CPAs. There's just not going to be as much inventory out there. And as a franchise, it poses problems because there are going to be states, like battleground states, to your point, that are going to produce higher CPMs and CPAs than what we're used to, and then other states that will be virtually untouched. So I think to answer your question, I think we're prepared for it in that it's not going to be a shock, but are we prepared in terms of some sort of ad strategy that's going to combat this? No, I don't think that there is one that's going to combat this. And until it actually happens, until we see that money in the marketplace, I think that everybody is kind of just sitting around and waiting to see what that impact is.
Yeah. And looking back at the last election or the last couple of elections to see how that worked, times have changed so much in the past 3.5, 4 years that it really doesn't matter what anyone was doing in 2016, because the dollar amounts and the traffic and the noise is going to be so much louder this year.
Right. And in 2016, for example, both Trump and Clinton did not use DSPs. Or programmatic display buys as part of their campaign. And I would be shocked if that's the same strategy they take this year, given the effectiveness of programmatic display buying.
Yeah. And also, I think one strategy I think I would recommend against is anyone who, because I've heard a couple of people talking about this, let's just wait till after the election. And it's like, wait a second. So after the first week of November, of these brands that have been holding out, not spending, you know, as much on social and digital for half of the year, they're all going to start dumping their money into everything the second week of November, trying to salvage, you know, the 2020 holiday season. That's going to be even busier and even more competitive.
You're exactly right. That is not a strategy that is going to help limit the amount of ad inventory. In fact, I think the inventory will stay consistently busy all year round.
What do you think of the idea, at least on social, of getting franchisees and you know, for other types of brands, you know, other regions or locations involved in doing more on the organic side and engaging with customers on social and all of those things that you're not going to have to fight for ad space on?
Yeah, I think that that's really the only way that you are going to be able to combat this is to diversify into things that, you know, the campaignees can't do, right, effectively and at reach like a franchise brand could. So we're talking to our franchisees about the importance of community engagement and networking and guerrilla marketing and social interaction. And that's really where we need them to be focused in 2020. And it doesn't mean abandon your digital efforts. We're not going to do that. We still have to be there. But I think we're going to have to work harder, feet on the ground, in order to make meaningful connections and cut through some of the noise. And one of the other things that I think is probably going to happen is the people who are normally using social media or online consumption as a pastime, that might decrease a little bit because, you know, in campaign timeframes or anytime there's any kind of controversy out there, you see those Facebook posts that say like, I'm done, too much negativity in my life, I'm one off until this is over. And I would anticipate that people will be doing that.
Right. I think too, we could say the same about television, and I do want to get into television and some other areas of advertising in just a minute, but that could happen with your television media buying strategy too, that there will be a point where everybody, and it's probably going to be around the time when the primaries are happening in their state, that they're going to turn off, if they haven't already unplugged from broadcast and cable TV, they're going to completely do it. And it's going to be, you know, 100% Netflix all the time for the rest of the year.
Right. No, you are so right. And from an advertising perspective on television, man, I'll tell you what, I was just looking at TV buys and the cost per points, they're doubling from what they normally are, given how flooded we are going to be with political messaging.
Yeah, I just don't get it for you know, traditional broadcast and even traditional cable, that the price is going up when no one is watching these commercials. I just can't get my mind wrapped around that.
Yes, I know. Go digital, right?
So let's talk a little bit about CTV. What are you seeing happening there?
Yeah, well, to preface this, I'm a big fan of CTV, so I might be a little bit biased.
Okay.
But it's something that I keep my eye on. And here's why. There was 40% growth year over year in CTV spend, almost to $7 billion. And that growth is something not to scoff at. That's a big growth trajectory. And by in just a couple of years, 2021, we'll be over $10 billion in spend. And right now, the leaders in the CTV market, YouTube, Roku, Hulu, those are platforms that are being highly consumed. But gosh, in 2020, I can't wait to see what happens with all of the other services that are coming into CTV.
Where do you think it's going to go?
I don't know for sure. Here's what though. A lot of these services that are coming out, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, HBO Max, they're all rolling out without ad inventory. So it's an ad-free platform, which I think helps a lot with the adoption of those services. But I'll be curious to see if they start to roll out something like Hulu, in that they have an ad-supported platform that might be at a lower premium for the consumer. And then one that doesn't have ads that is at a higher premium for the consumer.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what Peacock does in terms of having ad inventory, because they are rolling out with ad inventory. And then I'm keeping my eye on Netflix too, because there have been some rumors about Netflix moving into the ad inventory space. So I think that we need to watch this. If these services start to roll out ad inventory, first of all, I think we'll have a lot of lead time because they have to sell the inventory upright. So it will probably be 6 to 12 months before we would actually see ads on these services. But I think that it really could change the CTV buying landscape pretty significantly.
Anything we should be cautious of going into 2020 with CTV?
I think the two things that I get a little nervous about, number one, is around what is that primary KPI for CTV that you use across all CTV services. I don't know that we've really landed on what success looks like in CTV. And so I think that as more services become available in CTV, as more brands start to do CTV, that will be solidified a little bit more. But there's not a whole lot of conversation around how brands are using CTV in terms of KPI reporting. And then the other thing to just keep an eye on is the targeting and attribution and kind of the programmatic capabilities across the CTV landscape. They're not as advanced as what it would be if you're buying through a DSP or on Facebook or search. So how is CTV going to be competitive with the advancements in audience matching and exclusion to keep up with the other avenues that brands can take in order to get really precise in their targeting attribution modeling.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some more of those channels and platforms. We've talked a bit about Facebook, and we'll come back to that in just a minute, and Google as well. The one that I think so many brands are just not thinking of because they're still thinking of it as it was in, you know, 5 years ago is Amazon, as far as right. it being a digital ad space. Where do you see that going, and how do you see that mixing in and competing with Facebook and Google?
Yeah, so I think Amazon has a lot of forecasters and media marketers super excited, because forever we have been tied to the duopoly of Facebook and Google. And that makes a lot of marketers nervous, because we're putting all of our eggs in one basket. And by the way, that basket doesn't talk nicely to the other basket. and you're really not able to measure the customer journey. So when we look at Amazon coming, kind of creeping in as that third player, we all get super, super excited. I think we have to be a little bit careful, because Amazon is really only 8% of the digital ad market. So although they're number three, they're a small number three. By 2023, they're saying it's going to be about 15%. So still, you know, 3 years from now, we're looking at a pretty small piece of the pie in comparison to Google and Facebook. But I think it does have people excited, like, yes, finally, we can put our money somewhere else in conjunction with Facebook and Google to help us diversify just a little bit.
It's amazing to say that it's only, what did you say, 8% of the digital ad market?
It's 8%. Yep.
And that sounds small, but it's still massive compared to other platforms that so many brands and so many marketers I talk to are all up in arms about and think they need to figure out. You know, if I talk to one more person in the next month that is asking me what they should do with Snapchat right now, I'm like, well, what are you doing on Facebook? Are you saturated there? What are you doing on Google? Right. And have you thought of Amazon? And they haven't thought of half of that stuff. But, you know, something new comes along and suddenly they think they need to be in on it, while we're sitting here looking at Amazon as the one that that not enough brands are involved in, even though, and you don't have to be a retailer.
Right. Right. Well, and think about how much data Amazon has people, right?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. Right. Right.
So let's talk about the brands that are using Amazon, or maybe some that aren't. Are there brands that should avoid Amazon, or is there something there for everybody?
I think that the jury is still a little bit out on that too. I think that if you are an e-commerce brand, Amazon is a no-brainer for you. Yeah. And I think that it's even more attractive than Google. I mean, Google, yeah, they have name recognition and they have the inventory, but what Google doesn't have as much as Amazon has is intent. Like when you go to Amazon, you are ready to purchase, right? Yeah. And Amazon, although a retail site, is a search engine. And so you are capturing people right when they're ready to push buy. In an e-commerce situation, there's nothing better than that. That's like ideal, right?
Yeah, for so long, Google's argument was, well, we're all about intent. We're about intent to find information. And now Amazon is coming in saying, really? Let us show you about intent.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I think Amazon gives Google a little run for their money there. But what happens if you aren't an e-commerce brand, like Anytime Fitness, right?
Yeah,
we don't
yeah.
sell anything online. So is Amazon the right choice for us? Like I said, I think the jury is still out there. I think that Amazon has a lot of data that we would love to leverage. People who are searching for diet solutions in their search engine, people who are searching for fitness books or help. That is really great in terms of targeting. In terms of delivery, I think there's still some testing that needs to be done here. And I don't think that we or anybody else has really cracked the code. I think Amazon needs to meet us halfway. So I would imagine that over the next 2 years, Amazon will put a focus on how service brands or brands that don't play in the e-commerce space could leverage Amazon's advertising capabilities to drive traffic and conversion.
Excellent. So let's talk about a few other places we need to be watching out for, and what should we be looking at in 2020?
Yeah. One thing that I really am interested to see how this transpires is the digital out of home market. I read a couple of articles over the past couple of months about how 2020 is the year that digital out of home will finally go mainstream. And it's been something that's been around, but something that really hasn't been talked about a lot by regular everyday brands. And so digital out of home for me, it's appealing. Where I get a little nervous is that in a franchise system, we have a lot of locations that are in rural or suburban markets where the digital side of out of home isn't necessarily available from an ad inventory standpoint. And so as a franchisor, we have to evaluate what is the coverage like for digital out of home in areas where digital ad inventory doesn't exist, right? So I think that's why we've been a little bit shy to pull the trigger on this type of advertising. We've done it in the past, but I think that there's some advancements that need to happen. And maybe 2020 is the year that those advancements happen and that more inventory is available, not just in New York City or downtown Chicago, but in your suburban and rural markets.
Right. I still keep fighting back against anybody who's telling me that, you know, we're missing out on out of home right now, because I'm wondering how many people are looking away from their phone when they're on a highway, walking down the street, sitting on a subway, sitting on, you know, sitting in the train station, airport, you know, Times Square. I think I'd still rather be on their phone than up in the real world right now. And I know that's kind of a pessimistic view of where people are going, but I think I know where their eyeballs are, and it's not looking up right now. So maybe that'll change.
Yeah. Well, and maybe there's a way that the two can play together, right? So given geotargeting technology, like, can you synchronize those messages between a billboard, a video at the gas pump, a map at the mall, and your phone? Right? That would be the ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. Or can we get to the point where when I get out to pump the gas, the content that I was listening to on my phone just transfers over to the gas pump, and I don't have to miss a beat with that podcast. So, but,
yep, exactly.
I'm a little
exactly.
biased on podcasts though, however, so,
as am I.
And I think a big problem with out of home is still going to be the attribution when you're comparing it to Google and Facebook and other places. It's not comparing apples and oranges, because we can see, you know, every touch point with other types of digital marketing, but out of home is going to be a little tougher, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is going to be tougher. I think attribution in itself is still very tough for the everyday brand. I am praying and hoping that in 2020, there comes a solution where attribution for brands that don't have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to stick into an attribution tool becomes a little bit more approachable, achievable. We spend a ton of money in Google and Facebook, and we lose a lot of that customer journey in those channels. And there's a whole lot to be said about the difference between last click attribution and full path attribution. And I want a solution for that.
And you're still making a lot of assumptions, especially on the Facebook side, I would assume too, of, you know, where you first reached that, that potential customer.
Right. And like, how much does that platform claim in terms of the conversion?
Yeah.
Was it the most important part of that conversion, or was it just a stepping stone to somebody who was already going to convert, whether they saw that ad or not?
Yeah. What's your gut feeling on Facebook spend and Google spend for a lot of brands? And let's say, especially in the franchise space in 2020, do you see more going toward Facebook from Google, or do you see them both sort of rising at the same level? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's taking spend from each other in terms of Google and Facebook and putting it in the other respective platform. I think they're taking spend from other places or just allocating spend that they never have spent before and putting it into Facebook and Google, because in a franchise system at the local level, those are the best two platforms to drive conversion and to have visibility into your cost per conversion or acquisition. And so I think franchisors are going to be prioritizing the education of the two platforms and encouraging local spend on the two platforms. Your general ad fund or your national fund can only do so much. And the franchisees need to be pitching in on these platforms to complement what's happening at the national level. So I think you're going to see in the franchise space a big emphasis on local spend, how franchisees do it, how corporate can assist with tools or partners in order to enable the spend. And I know that that's a big topic in the upcoming IFA main convention in Orlando here. So
yes,
I think that that's the topic of conversation.
And I think another big topic is going to be one big problem that everybody is kind of talking about, but not really. And maybe we'll see some content about this at convention this year, and that's ad fraud. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, this is scary. I think it makes everybody cringe to hear ad fraud. The reality is ad fraud is about $23 billion this year.
Wow.
In terms of companies that are dumping money into programmatic and getting fake clicks and conversions. And I don't know that we have a really solid solution for it yet. I think that having a better picture of attribution and being careful about relying on open exchanges can mitigate the risk of ad fraud. But I think that this is something that we are all going to have to keep a close pulse on and keep our partners accountable for. I think if you're not talking to your ad agency about ad fraud, you need to start talking to your agency about ad fraud and what they are doing in order to mitigate the risk of fraud.
And if you're an agency and you're not talking to your brand customers about ad fraud and what you're doing and showing them your work, look out, because someone else is going to talk to them about it. And you really need to educate your customers and before you lose them.
That's exactly right. This is going to be something that agencies use as a scare tactic to get people interested in their services versus the services they're getting from elsewhere.
Yeah. I think there's something else brewing with agencies right now that I think we're going to see a big turn, maybe not in 2020, but in the next 5 years. There was a great article last week in Forbes talking about, you know, the really big branding agencies, Publicis, WPP, Saatchi, they're all in trouble. And, you know, they've kind of all gone down this digital marketing road that they were not the innovators on. And now they're playing catch up. Meanwhile, the creative work that these great agencies have done for the past 50 years is really going down the tubes. You know, no one is looking at these agencies to come up with the next, you know, Nike Just Do It or McDonald's I'm Loving It. They're getting so down into the weeds with some digital marketing stuff that they're kind of turning their back on branding. And I see that a lot in franchising. I see brands that are spending 100% of their ad spend on getting more clicks, right? Or getting more leads for potential franchisees. And meanwhile, no one even knows what the brand is. No one's heard of the brand before. And people are expecting this just magic to happen with conversions to come in on a brand that no one knows anything about. So what do you see happening there? Do you see anyone going back to good branding and solving that problem, or are we just going to keep going down the clicks and conversions road?
Gosh, I hope not. I know we at Anytime Fitness just retained a very strong brand agency and are very excited for them to help us build what we are as a brand and what we stand for and how we come across the consumer and really communicate our value proposition. I think, and we've talked about this before, Jack, digital has ruined us a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a digital marketer. So you know how much I love digital.
Yeah, we're spoiled, right?
We're spoiled. We want every marketing dollar to have a true return on investment that we can prove to leadership. And as a result, we funnel every marketing dollar into those channels. And that's not the way that it should be done. We need to spend money on retaining agencies that can help us break through the noise and really deliver what our consumers are looking for. And I think that digital advertising has compromised content marketing and branding. And I think that there'll be a swing in that.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's going to be like that forever. I think brands are starting to realize that they need to say more than just click here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to hear that you guys are focused on that because you have a great brand. You have a very recognizable brand. People are aware of it, but the fact that you're still investing in branding, maybe not for 2020, but for 5 years down the road or longer and still building that brand, that's some good planning ahead right there.
Well, good. We sure hope so. I think people, you know, we do have good brand recognition, but in terms of consideration and what we're actually known for, I think that there's a little bit of a disconnect. So we're hoping that moving forward with this agency will assist in kind of closing that gap in the consumer's mind.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, I just read that Anytime Fitness is number one in Antarctica. That just came across the wires here.
Yes. Great. Top
number
of mind
one
awareness,
in brand
100%.
Awareness.
Woohoo.
One
Great.
Continent
well,
down.
There
we go.
There you go.
Krista, we're going to be back in just a moment with some contact information if people would like to continue the conversation. But first, today's show is brought to you by FranSuite. FranSuite is a cloud-based digital marketing platform designed to help a franchise grow. FranSuite empowers a franchisor to enable franchise success and say goodbye to digital ads launched by your franchisees that don't live up to brand standards. You can launch brand-approved creative on Instagram, Facebook, and Google search in just a few clicks and control how your brand is being used. You'll collaborate and communicate across your entire franchise system like never before with visibility into real-time performance, including increased awareness with local customers, more traffic, and more sales. If your franchise uses an agency to launch local ads but struggles to get access to real-time performance data, then FranSuite is also for you. See it in action at fransuite.com. That's FranSuite.com. Kristen Pahacik, thank you so much for joining me today and being here on the first show of 2020. If our listeners want to continue the conversation, maybe want to ask a few questions about some of the ad spend things that we talked about today, where can they reach you?
Yep. I'm always available to talk shop. You can find me on LinkedIn, Kristen Pahacik, and I'm sure Jack can include a link to my LinkedIn profile with the podcast.
Absolutely. And you are always on LinkedIn because I'm always on LinkedIn and I always see you on there. So, if you want to reach her, that's the place. Kristen, thanks so much. We will chat again with you very soon. And we'll see you in about a month at the IFA in Orlando.
Woohoo. See you then. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for being here. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2020, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.